My name's Simone Marshall. I'm 36 years of age. I live in Surrey. I am an investment development surveyor. Well, I was an investment development surveyor up until about 6 weeks ago when I lost my job. I lost my job because I spoke out at Trafalgar Square on the 26th of September. And I believe that either my superiors or the equity backing that we had got sight of it. Either somebody sent it into them, or they somehow came across video footage of me on the 26th of September. And that's it. I mean, they didn't say that they had video footage. They just asked me what was I doing there, and that was the beginning of a conversation that led to me resigning. Actually, it was a forced resignation. It was an ultimatum. I could either be dismissed or I could resign, and I had 15 minutes to make a decision.
So what reason did they give?
Well, they saw what I had done on the 26th, which was address the public as gross misconduct, and I didn't really have time to, I wouldn't say argue, but I didn't really have time to think about what was being said, and it literally was a 5 minute call that put me on the spot. And you know what? I hadn't really been enjoying the job for quite some months, Tony. You know, the job was boring because it was slow moving, and it wasn't just because of COVID happening. It had already been slow. You know, I'm used to fast pace. I'm used to working in environments where there's pressure, and this job wasn't offering me that. We were a private company, privately backed by private equity, and we partnered with local authorities to help them bring forward their land for redevelopment. And you know, my specialism is in healthcare, retirement villages, care homes, GP surgeries, private hospitals. All that side, I have worked within, and that is where my experience comes from. And yeah, they considered that what I had done on the 26th is a conflict of interest, I suppose. And in a way, I suppose they're right. When you work with local government, even though I suppose my speaking out, my desire to speak out comes from multiple, well, it's multiple reasons. Since lockdown, since all of this has happened. However, we know it's all coming from central government, and it's not local government, and we know it's coming from a globalist avenue as well. It's not just a central government level. So, my concerns are valid, of course, and everyone has freedom of speech, freedom of expression. You have freedom of assembly. These are all your constitutional rights, freedom of belief, and opinion, and freedom to thought. And you know, I was there on a Saturday. I wasn't in any uniform, not that we wear uniform anyway. I was representing myself. I was not representing them. And I was representing all the things that had happened to me during this lockdown and this inverted commas pandemic. And I believe I had every right to be there. I suppose they have to protect their own position and the partners that they work with in order to continue being a successful business. So I understand that as well. And to be honest, I didn't have the energy or the desire to even fight it, Tony.
Okay. All right. So tell us why you decided to get involved with the movement against government policy on COVID.
Well, number of reasons, really. The fact that they are disproportionate, that they're absolutely not necessary, they're unfounded, they're baseless, they're not based on any science. It's all pseudoscience. It's based on fraudulent data, fraudulent numbers, purported cases, using fraudulent tests. The fact that it's causing critical issues in families and in friendships and in people's lives. People's businesses are being destroyed. People are being denied access to healthcare. I mean, all these things are impacting us on a magnitude that the government is not even bringing out to the forefront, because this is an agenda. This is a dark agenda that they're bringing forward.
they would say, won't they, that they're doing this to protect particularly the elderly in the population from catching COVID-19, which they may die from. So this is an extreme measure for an extreme disease.
What extreme disease? You know, we've got the average age of people dying in their 80s, and it's the same age for people with COVID. It's a 0.01% worldwide mortality rate and a 99.97% recovery rate when you do get it. If you do get it, most people, of course, won't even present as symptomatic. I don't believe that there's a COVID-19 virus. The government has had several freedom of information requests put into them that they have not responded to. They've confirmed that it's not been isolated, that it's not been purified, and that it doesn't meet Koch postulates in any case. The numbers in themselves don't lie. You can look at the official data. So anyone with two brain cells can see that this is no worse than the annual flu season. In fact, the flu deaths have reduced, as along with all the other deaths have, funny enough, reduced this year. So to me, there's something fishy, especially when the government admits to putting COVID-19 down on people's death certificate, even when they haven't been tested, and even paying. I've even heard of instances of families being paid off to have the COVID-19 because it's all incentivized, Tony. You know, this whole thing, it's a lie. It's a deception.
Okay, so you're saying that the virus doesn't exist. There is lots of medical professionals out there that say it does exist. I would say, you know, I myself had something very similar to this with very peculiar symptoms back at the end of December 2019. And many people would be offended by that, having lost relatives, what they believe is due to the virus.
Okay, right. Well, there's two things. Okay, my friend died in April. He was 60 years of age. He had no underlying health conditions. He walked into Charing Cross Hospital with a urinary tract infection at the beginning of this lockdown in March to pick up some medication, which he would usually take, some antibiotics. And he was told that they would test him if he liked, if he wanted to. He'd been traveling on the underground, and so he said, yeah, sure. Now, at that time, we didn't know anything about the virus. We weren't told a lot. There were all different kinds of reports. And they, within hours, they purportedly came back with a test that was positive and said, oh, we're going to keep you in, even though he presented no symptoms. He was fit and healthy. And he got scared and he decided to listen to their advice and stay in. Within 3 days, he had been shoved onto a ventilator and he was dead within 3 weeks. They didn't tell him to go home and isolate. He lives on his own. He wasn't told to go and dose up with vitamin D and look after yourself. He wasn't told, he wasn't sent away with any hydroxychloroquine. I can never say that word. No, he was told to stay in. And they put him on a ventilator. And anyone who is a health professional out there knows that ventilators are last resort. And we know that there was statistics coming out during this lockdown that over 80% of people that are put on ventilators will die. Tony, I'm not being funny, but when every year there's a flu bug that goes around, and every year it's slightly different to the next one. Every time I get flu, it's never the same. One time it's in my head, the next time it's on my chest, the next time I don't feel any of that, I'm just sweating and I've got a massive temperature. Every time it's different, right? I go to the doctor and I say, I'm really struggling here, can you give me something? The doctor almost certainly always 100% turns around and says, you know what, Miss Marshall, you've got the flu. There's nothing I can do for you. Go home and rest. They don't tell me to go and put on a mask and stay 6 feet from someone and go and shut my business and keep myself isolated for 14 days. No, you just be sensible. You go home, you wrap up, you make sure you feed yourself well and dose up on vitamin C. You know, the world has gone nuts. There is enough medical practitioners scientists, virologists, immunologists out there now, all disagreeing with the government narrative and coming against it and saying it's nothing more than worse than the annual flu. People need to wise up. The government need to back off. So for
Okay.
anyone who's perpetuating this and saying they're deeply offended, I am deeply offended. I'm deeply offended that this lie is being able to be maintained by those same people
Okay,
because
so
it's.
what do you think's really going on then? Obviously, there's something else happening if it's not a pandemic.
Well, look, the hospitals were incentivized to put people on ventilators. The hospital are incentivized to put. Local authorities are incentivized to put people in lockdown, for flip's sake. Doctors are being incentivized to give people the jab. It all works on money. It all works on profit. It all works on this incentivization. And if you don't hit your targets, and if you don't hit this many, then we will take this funding away from you and that funding away from you. And it's been presented in such a way, it's like coercion. Because this is what it all operates on. It's all fear-based, and it's not looking at the actual underlying issues or the root concerns of somebody. It's only treating symptoms. Shoving everybody on all the old people on a DNR, do not resuscitate. What that is that really protecting the vulnerable? Is that really giving them their right to life under the Bill of Rights, 1688 and 1689? Or their right to life under God, their creator.
Or even the European Court of Human Rights, right to life.
Yeah,
I mean,
exactly.
the other thing people don't talk about a lot is when people go onto ventilators, they're also put into an induced coma. So it's a way of making it impossible for them to then have any real involvement in their treatment.
Yes. D Tony, they took away that man's right to his religion to send off to seeing his children before he went. This is complete violation of the NHS's own constitution. This is in complete violation of our constitution, our dignity, our human rights. This is full-on slavery. I have no other words to describe it. I honestly don't.
What about the way the media has dealt with this? The TV, the radio, the newspapers?
Shockingly, of course, shockingly. Absolutely appallingly. There's absolute bias. There's no subjectivity or objectivity. It's all the same narrative in every single paper. It's all the same people in the same papers. It's not. There's no opinion that is. There are a few. I would say very few journalists who have, probably put a few columns out in, the main papers, The Independent, The Telegraph, and stuff. But realistically, they've all been gagged and they've all been shut down, Tony. Ofcom put a whole gag on them in April. And you can go and look that out. What's it? The Free Speech Alliance, I think they're called. But yes.
I mean, we covered that. They put it on our station, and I was taken off the air.
Whoa, dear. See? This is crazy. YouTube channels are being yanked down. Facebook profiles and f businesses are being yanked down. The businesses that are speaking up and not shutting their businesses, even their Facebook profiles are being blocked, being shut down. And anyone who's speaking out, doing something that is in opposition to the government or the local authorities' directives, these rules, regulations, and guidelines, they're not laws. That's why they don't call them laws. That's why they have terminology like that, rules, regulations, and guidelines. And people need to wake up because this is a critical time that we're entering into here. Where everything is being quashed, every business, 60% of our GDP is based on independent businesses, right? And why is it that Pets at Home and Asda and Morrisons and all these supermarkets and all these big stores and B&M and all these chain stores can still stay open, but yet these small
Well,
independents can't?
I'll tell you why. It's because they've got better lawyers.
You see, this is just awful, though, isn't it? So, still, let's crush the small man. Why don't we? This is an absolute joke. This is absolute tyranny. These poor businesses and their homes are going to be ripped from them. There's Banks are already gearing up for all of this. They're recruiting, all these asset recovery firms. They're all recruiting, getting ready to take further property and wealth from the people. There is a way around this. People can arm themselves. People can tool themselves up to fight this, what is coming. And they need to know that they have rights, that they have ways of doing it in equity and in common law.
Well, look, hang on, because most people don't have access to that. They're at the moment, they are strapped for cash because their income streams have been taken away, and the chances of them hiring some sort of lawyer to help them are virtually zero. Surely, this whole point of this is that people no longer have the financial wriggle room to fight back.
Yes, yeah, see, this is the one of the biggest deceptions that we live in right now, that we're powerless. And we're really not, Tony. We are creditors. We are the creditors in this world. We came into this world with nothing, but God gifted us everything that we've in it, right? But this whole system tips that on its head and makes you deceives you into being a debtor. And this whole banking system and all this fake fiat money that we're living in, and this I'm going to say fake legal system that we live in, because it's not the true law. It's legislative law. It's statutory law. It's a acts and statutes. They're legislation, not true law. True law of the land, not law of the sea, which is what we're living in, is the jurisdiction of this under the law of the sea within
Well,
this
hang on, hang on.
system.
We don't live in the sea.
I knew you'd say something like that. It's called the law of the sea, the holy sea. It's maritime admiralty law, and that's the what law these legislations are passed through under. Whereas we have something called common law, which is the highest law of, it's the law of the land, it's the highest form of law. But then you have equity and natural law, which is even higher, universal law. And that's been hidden from us, Tony, purposefully, because under common law, you can write your own documents. They're your property. You don't need a legal representative, a lawyer in their legalese realm to represent you. You don't need representing. You can present yourself. You have the power. And if you understand common law, and it really is quite simple. And all you're doing is asserting your standing, your jurisdiction. You're not allowing these corporations and these businesses to subjugate you into a position of debtor.
Okay, so there's a bit of a danger here that,
Yes.
and I've seen quite a lot of what I would call barrack room lawyers around saying, oh, the law doesn't apply to you, it doesn't apply to me. But of course, it does and it will if, say, for example, you default on your mortgage and your house is repossessed.
Yes, but when you realize that all mortgages are fraud from day one, and that they're having you over, that when you sign, when you make that sign, which is sinning, you are sinning. When you sign as the creditor, you are creating a financial instrument that they go and securitize, and they actually get back two or three times, if not more, of that same value that they supposedly lent to you.
Well, I mean, yeah, but this is a debt, isn't it? And obviously, for many centuries in medieval times, it was illegal to lend money at interest, but it isn't anymore. And if this kind of thing is not going to help you when the bailiffs turn up with a possession order and remove you from your home.
Yes, but this, if you know how to write proper letters, if you understand how to write notices, and the power of those notices and affidavits, you understand that what you're operating within is contract law in their realm, and there was no real contract to begin with because it was fraudulently undertaken. You were deceived at the time of it being carried out. Then there are ways to go through the court system and challenge that. And I'm not saying that you will, it depends on your competency and your knowledge and understanding of the matter in order to proceed. But I know people who have challenged it and who have won in courts. The problem is that the courts all operate with the banks. They're all in collusion with one another, and they're They're all a racket anyway, so they all protect one another. So the judges never want to give an order or a judgment that is going to be a detriment to
Anyway,
the banks.
this week we've seen the announcement of the end of this, what they call lockdown light, on the 2nd of December. And apparently we're going to be able to spend 5 days over Christmas. I mean, there's all sorts of questions about this, particularly this idea of everybody going, I think, isn't it on the 23rd of December and then going back on the 27th? I don't know. If I was working
Everybody.
for a radio station still, I wouldn't want to be doing the travel news on that day, or on the railways either, because it will be absolute mayhem. And of course, the super spreader event, basically. And the other thing is the 10 o'clock rule, certainly here in Bristol, as pubs and bars and restaurants and everything was closing at 10 o'clock, you had another super spreader event then. So one does wonder, if there's any real questioning of this policy to do with COVID, given that, you don't think it's necessary, but even if it was necessary, it seems almost designed to create these super spreader events.
Yeah, the whole thing just doesn't stack up. The whole that's what I'm saying. By now most people should have woken up to this. Unfortunately, a lot of them still turn on the black box that is in their front room, and listen to the mainstream narrative, which is the real difficulty here, because it's the only thing that's really perpetuating this narrative and allowing it to continue. I don't believe that anybody should be listening to these rules, these MP preferences. I think everybody is able to make their own decision for themselves. They can make their own risk assessment for themselves. I don't believe the government has demonstrated its ability to operate a project like this at this scale. I think it's fallen down at so many levels and has proven itself over and over again that it doesn't work what they're doing. In fact, it's a lot worse. And they're destroying our economy at the same time. And people, I believe, need to empower themselves with the constitutional rights that they have the right to trade and may earn a living to feed their family, and that no government, no state, no council official, no policy enforcer can ever take them away from them.
Well, hang on,
And they will
because if
never.
you're saying that people should ignore these rules that have been set down by government and ratified by Parliament now, you're surely advocating a kind of lawless country with the law. And what happens in that situation is you just get the law of the jungle, the strongest survive.
But they're basing these laws on false numbers, false information, false scientific models, false narratives. Look,
Well,
you've
however wrong they are, those are surely the laws of the land, even if they are wrong. And
no.
without those, surely it's going to revert to
No.
savagery.
No. Who created government? Did we not create government? When we are the creators of government, that means that they can't take away what was before we created it.
Who created government? The strong and the powerful at the moment. I mean, it was basically the setup we've got now, was probably. I mean, it's changed over the centuries, obviously, but it's probably fair to say it was really established during the English Civil War in the 17th century, and that wasn't by the people. That was by the parliamentarian faction against the king's faction. So it was one bunch of ruling elites, the merchant class in that case, against another, which was the feudal class in the old regime. So, I don't think it's fair to say the people have created this system. It's a system created in the 17th century by the merchant classes.
Well, it was people at that time who created it, and we've enacted it, and the Queen took an oath to uphold the laws of this land, the laws of the land, not the laws of the sea, the laws of the land. It's God's laws, that we're from the dust of the ground, we're from the land, we're not from the sea. And this maritime admiralty law that they're bringing in is not the true law. It's not to be upheld. It's by consent of the people. Parliament, these laws only get the full force of the law by the consent of the people.
So, have you got any thoughts about tactics, strategy in order to reopen the country again to get things back to normal?
Everybody needs needs to just get back, open their businesses. The more people that open their businesses, they need to come together in little business networks. I mean, we've got our own business network growing. We've got about 1,700 people in the group now. I'm going to say out of that, you've got at least 1,500 businesses all coming together, learning and educating themselves with the rights or that their rights, constitutional rights, and they're going to be taking action together. Because, you know, part of the reason why people don't open their businesses as much as they want to, is because of the fear that they're going to get these notices, these fraudulent, frivolous orders and notices against them, which is going to cost them money, these fines. It's just another way to tax the people, another way to extort from them. No, every business has the right to run its business as it so wishes, without any, free from any government interference. And the same, you know, these are civil matters. The police should not be getting involved in civil matters. Yes.
Yeah, what do you make of these? There's a lot of talk around Bill Gates and about vaccines and about this having an almost internationalist agenda. So what do you make of those allegations?
I would have to agree with that absolutely, you know. Bill Gates is a front man for a much bigger agenda that is being pushed forward, you know, to every single government that has signed up to this. And these vaccines are new vaccines, new technology, never been tested before, never been, they're not regulated. The manufacturers and the distributions and the vaccinators, the people that will be, you know, giving them out are going to, well, the government is looking at giving them full impunity against that, any damages. There has to be something wrong. You know, you cannot tell me that a vaccine can be pushed through in 6 months' time without proper and fair and due process and testing, and then you know, the public being used as guinea pigs, all for a 0.01% worldwide mortality rate. There has to be something seriously wrong with us to not be questioning that.
The Belarusian president Lukashenko says that the IMF offered him £1 billion to do a lockdown. So I wonder if you think that there's other forces that are pushing this rather than just a medical agenda.
Oh, there absolutely is, Tony. There absolutely is. The IMF is one of them. You know, the BIS, the World Economic Forum, the WIT. You know, you can go and look at all of these. The World Economic Forum is a hub of information. They are putting it all out there. They are not hiding anything. There is something called the Great Reset, which is happening on the first, supposedly happening on the 1st of the 1st, 2021. Everybody on your audience needs to know about that. They need to go and look it up. It's a guy called Professor Klaus Schwab. He's a very evil, nefarious individual who's written numerous books about their agenda and what they want to bring
Oh,
forward.
hang on. Before you call him evil and nefarious, he's a friend of Prince Charles, and there are actually thousands of economists across the world
You
that are saying
don't.
a similar thing. They're saying actually it's about time we had a new economic settlement for the world, a kind of new financial architecture. Because the old one, well, the old one has had we've had enough, and it's broken. It was set up
You
at the Bretton Woods conference at the end of the Second World War, and it's past its sell-by date, long past. As we know, there's many, many countries getting into unpayable debt, so it's about time. Surely this is a great opportunity to get rid of the IMF and have some sort of new settlement.
Tony, you do not want to know my opinion on Prince Charles, okay? And if anybody is listening to this, there is a much bigger agenda at play that includes people like Prince Charles and in these families, in these fa royal houses, and in these elite, I'm going to say these elite class. There is something much bigger at play, and it's a spiritual one, Tony. And this is, you know, something that a lot of people have not got their eye on. We're just looking at the physical realm here, but there is a much bigger aspect to it, and that's the spiritual realm. And there's a massive deception, a massive deception that, you know, there's a scripture that says that woe to those who will call good evil and evil good. And you know, these globalist elites, these globalist organizations, and these front-facing individuals that are fronting it and pushing it forward, they've all got a narrative, and it's NLP. It's language, the way they use language to present an idea to you, or to get you to change, rewire your brain, your thinking, or your behavior. And they've been doing it for decades now. They've got their own psychologists, they've got their own marketing, they've got it, they're fully tooled up, they're fully resourced, and they're fully equipped, and they've got the back, the funding and the backing to support it, because these guys have been stealing our wealth and our assets and our property for years, our land, our resources, our minerals, and it's a conglomerate of people. Well, I say people loosely. I don't know who you've got on your audience, but there's a much darker, sinister agenda at play, and it involves these groups of people, and they use language as a weapon against us, Tony. Language has been weaponized against us to the point that we no longer understand the meaning
Well,
of
but
words.
you haven't, hang on, but you haven't actually answered my question, which was about,
Sorry.
we've got to the point, surely, with the global economic system, with particularly African countries, but of course, most of the countries in the world now in unpayable debt, something needs to be done, and we need to have a new system. Klaus Schwab and Prince Charles are saying that, and they're saying, actually, we think that this would be a better system, their Great Reset.
Well, the point is, it isn't a great reset. It's a great reset on their terms, not ours. It's all about making everybody poor. They want to stick everybody on a universal basic income. They don't want anybody to have their own business. They want to destroy innovation. They want everybody to be on at least two medications for their whole of their life. They want to inject everybody with poisons every twice a year at the minimum, what I'm hearing right now. They want to, it's all a deception. The words that they use, oh, it's going to make put everybody, on the same foothold. No, it's yes, it will put everybody on the same foothold, but not the foothold that you're going to like. It's on their terms. They talk about, everybody's going to be equal. Well, what they're aiming to do is offer you a The, they're going to offer you a package, and the package is simply put, we will wipe away all your debt, all your mortgages, because, like you say, everybody's in debt, and that's exactly where they've captured everybody with this flipping illusion. It's an illusion because money doesn't exist. This fiat currency is not real. It's a piece of paper, a promissory note that actually is a debt instrument in itself. So all you're doing is carrying debt around, and you can't pay debt with debt. So it's an illusion. And all you're doing is making these bankers rich all the time by and perpetuating it and further perpetuating. But my point is that it's all on their terms. They want to take, they'll say to you that they will pay off all your debt, your mortgage, and you will live, with this guaranteed income your whole life. But you will have to declare that you will never, ever own anything ever again. And you have to have these vaccinations and comply with this and comply with that and do this and do that. And, before you know it, it's a social credit system. And people are, you've already seen, people ratting on their neighbors and stuff. They're destroying neighborhoods, they're destroying community, destroying family, destroying family, kids' minds, corrupting their minds with all the entertainment and all the education, the really dumbed down education, and giving them all these vaccines. Tony, honestly, that we're in this massive lie at the moment, and people need to wake up. It's a much darker, sinister agenda with dark people behind dark closed doors that are
Okay, so look,
setting policy.
let's finish, Simone, with some light at the end of the tunnel. What do you see as the light at the end of the tunnel?
I think people need to, one, once they've come to the realization that this world is not what it seems, and they see that there is this looming darkness that is coming towards us at the speed of knots. Once they realize that, then they can empower themselves, because they know what it is that they're having to fight. So finally, they're able to face it, and they're able to then w allow that work its way into action. For me, I've set up a channel. I've set up Facebook groups. I do lives. I go on many people's shows to raise awareness. I've got lots of resources on our website. I've got lots of different ways that people can get involved. And that's everything from, You know, if they do not want to aid and abet what is going on, the crimes that have been committed against the people, we've got ways you can stop paying council tax, for example, if that was something that appealed to you. We've got another action point where, you know, we want to take the government, hold the government to account in the courts, but we need the people behind it, because all these barristers and lawyers, which I said before, they're all involved, they're all protecting themselves, their own interests. This is the way the society has become. We have to reconnect with one another. We have to acknowledge that part of the reason why we are in the way we are today is because of our own laziness. We've given away our responsibility to these so-called officials that are supposed to be protecting us, that they're supposed to have duties and obligations, and they're supposed to fulfill those duties and obligations, but they've let us down time and time again. You know, we need to come together. We need to raise the standard, we need to raise the bar, and we need to resist. And we resist in many different ways. We can get involved at local levels, giving out leaflets, waking people up, raising awareness. We've got taking action in a lawful way, and as a lawful citizen, we've got people going to police constabularies across the country. We've got people now coming together to help other people with food security, and helping people address this financial issues, because, you know, no one's working at the moment. And if you're not working, you can't pay your mortgage, you can't pay your bills. Well, like I say, this is a government who has purposefully put us in this position. So, and the banks are profiting off of it. Well, you can pay everything with using your own financial instruments. You're just not educated like that when you're a child in these government-sponsored
Okay,
indoctrination camps.
okay. So, whereabouts can people find you online, I imagine, if they're interested in picking up on some of this and reading some of what you're saying.
Yes, sure. Well, we're on event202.org. That's our website. We've got a Telegram chat group called E202. We have a Facebook group called E202. We've also got YouTube channel called Event202. Yeah, anyone can find us there. You know, we're just normal people, Tony, who are really concerned and know what is truly going on, or know a lot about what is going on, more than what the average person is aware of. And we're really concerned because this is not going to go away. This really is not going to go away unless enough people realize it and stand up in their authority and their power, that we are the people and we created government and we can make this stop.
Okay, Simone Marshall from Event 202, thanks very much for joining us.
Oh, you're so welcome. It's a pleasure.